It's time for 30 minutes of nonstop sports conversation. It's Crunch Time with JB and Double T, presented by Buffalo Wings and Rings in Greendale.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us for another edition of Crunch Time with JB and Double T, live from Buffalo Wings and Rings on Flossie Drive in Greendale. It is tourney time. We are going to get to that here in just a second. I also want to let all our listeners know that we will be resuming the springtime on-air auction at the top of the hour, 7 o'clock. It is driven by Car Country and Aurora and Harrison. But right now, we're here to talk sports, 30 minutes of nonstop sports conversation. And, John, you'll have to excuse me if my voice is a little hoarse today. Well, it's because I spent the better half of yesterday afternoon screaming my lungs out at Nippert Stadium as FC Cincinnati played their inaugural home match in the MLS, and it was a 3-0 victory. Man, the crowd was absolutely electric from the get-go. Sold out, 32,250 people, and they didn't waste any time. They scored 15 minutes into the game. I know you're kind of new to getting used to the soccer world, but if you score that early and you can get the crowd involved like that, that momentum took them through the rest of the 90 minutes. They scored two goals within 2 minutes of themselves in the second half and just put this game out of contention by the 65th minute, beating a Portland Timbers team who was in the MLS Cup final last year. So 2 weeks in a row, they tie the defending MLS Cup champions, and then they come home for their first MLS match and win 3-0. So this team is getting it clicking early on, and as an expansion team and putting a roster together over the winter months, pretty impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. And you should be hoarse there. Be counting on you. You're a proud season ticket holder, so it sounds like you did your job to the best of your ability yesterday. And no, I'm excited about it. Like you said, admittedly, soccer's never been my number one following, but between a six-year-old playing it for the first time this year and FC Cincinnati gaining steam, it's definitely trending upward in my life. So look forward to staying on them this year.
Yeah. So a couple more things about the game. They moved from 11th to 5th in the Eastern Conference standings. So that's a big jump. But obviously, just 3 weeks into the season, so you can't get too far looking ahead with the standings. But they're going to play New England Revolution this weekend on the road. They're going to be without five players who got international call ups. Alan Cruz and Kendall Waston for Costa Rica. They both scored goals yesterday. You also have two Jamaicans and Alvis Powell and Darren Maddox, and then Frankie Amaya up on the U-20 team for the United States, so they'll be without those five guys this weekend.
How big of a too early to be too dramatic like Cinderella, because I understand they're new, and I hear last week they're going to get beat by Atlanta, and nobody said they're going to beat this week, but I'm looking at these standings. There's already only one team in the East without a loss or a draw, if I'm looking at that right.
Yeah.
And that's Toronto, so are we talking big time Cinderella here, or is this just it's competitive and balanced, and despite their new,
it is competitive and balanced, and I think that they do have it put together a roster that's certainly capable of making the playoffs. So they've added team to a playoffs this year, the new format, so they'll be 7 out of 12 in the Eastern Conference, so the odds of making the playoffs are a little bit better than they have been in prior years. But they definitely have the talent, and if they can keep coming together like they have the last couple of weeks and continue that strong play, anything is certainly
possible.
Like I said,
there's only one team in the East without a draw or a loss. That's Toronto, and they've only played twice.
Absolutely.
So they haven't even taken the field as many times as everybody else, but good for them. That's great.
Yeah, they're off to a great start, so no complaints there, and certainly be tracking them all summer. We got some other stuff we want to get to tonight,
couple,
too.
Quick hoop stories before we get into the big dance, which we're going to devote most of this show too. A couple championships to celebrate right across the river. Thomas mm-hmm. Moore completed their perfect season with a 81-67 victory yesterday in the championship game over Bowdoin College. Shelby Rupp, local grad here, or not here in Lawrenceburg, but Batesville grad,
right.
A double-double, one of many girls with local connections to cut down the Division III national championship nets yesterday. And then on the high school level, the Ryle girls completed their run to the Kentucky State Championship, which is single class. If listeners aren't aware, Kentucky's mm-hmm. one of the states that is still holding on to the single class. So good for Ryle and Thomas Moore. Winning it all this year.
Yeah, a couple things from me. Thomas Moore capped off an undefeated season as well, 33-0. So congratulations to all those young ladies who completed the undefeated season to win that national championship. And for Ryle, you remember back all the way to the beginning of the tournament, they knocked off number one Connor on their way to winning that state championship. So impressive work there from Ryle, and congratulations to both those Northern Kentucky teams. Do we want to mention a couple notes in the NFL before we move on to
I think we mentioned it and get rolling. You saw my notes. You're looking over my shoulder.
Absolutely.
I wrote Fitzpatrick to the Dolphins. That's not local.
Former Bengal.
We got former Bengal. Good for him. He lands on his feet. And then listeners may or may not have heard by now that the Bengals parted ways with Vontaze Burfict today. So
yeah, spent all 7 years of his NFL career with the Bengals. There for a couple years, probably could have been considered one of the best linebackers in the league. Over the last couple years, his play's diminished. He's often been suspended. So Bengals with a new regime, kind of getting rid of what could be a problem child in that locker room, and they're going to save $5.5 million, and hopefully they use it towards bringing in a guy to replace him.
Seemed like the right time. It just, like I said, I didn't get too excited about this news or too frustrated. It just kind of seemed like the right thing at the right time.
And I think the likely landing place for Vontaze Burfict is in Oakland with former defensive coordinator Paul Gunther, who will likely at least be talking to John Gruden about taking a shot on Vontaze Burfict on a little bit of a flyer. So that's kind of what's going on in regards to the Bengals. They did re-sign Tyler Eifert over the weekend as well, so that's nice.
Big fan of him. Big dance. Here we go, Travis.
All right, yes, this is Crunch Time with JB and Double T, live from Buffalo Wings and Rings on Flossie Drive in Greendale. We want to remind our listeners that at 7 o'clock we're going to take it back to the studio and resume our springtime on-air auction. This is the first night for the auction, and you'll hear that from 7 until 9 o'clock. Right now, we're going to get into the NCAA tournament because it's obviously the talk of the sports world. Everybody loves watching these basketball games every March. We just got through championship week. A big congrats to Northern Kentucky University for winning their conference championship. I want to throw that out there before we get into the brackets. But we're going to kind of go region by region here and just have a little open conversation about who we think might win those regions, some games that you might want to tune into, star players. So we'll start out in the East, I guess, John, with the number one overall seed, kind of how they did with the Selection Sunday. Duke is going to be the number one seed in the East. That regional runs through Washington, D.C., Michigan State, the 2 seed, LSU, the 3, and Virginia Tech, the 4. Overall impressions of the East region.
Biggest impression is, and I know we're looking ahead to the games, and that's the fun part, but just real quick, Travis, biggest impression, like a lot of people, if you watch Nationals, I'm frustrated with Michigan State's placement. And I guess, you know, I thought at least with the top 8 seeds, they did more of a natural S-curve. Whether Michigan State ended up number 5 overall or number 6, for them to end up with Duke, I think, is unfair to them, mm-hmm. Having won the Big Ten regular season and tournament.
Sure.
If Tom Izzo were here right now, he'd tell me to stop talking about this because they got to beat Bradley in a potential Duke-Michigan State game is way down the road. But that was an impression. Other than that, you know, I'm going to ultimately, when we talk Final Four, I'm going to take Duke, like probably most of the nation in this region. The Sweet 16 matchup, potential Sweet 16 matchup with Virginia Tech sticks out. Obviously, conference foes that would be hooking up, and I think Virginia Tech is very well coached with Buzz Williams. Justin Robinson has been injured. He's a phenomenal player on top of what they already have with Kerry Blackshear and Nikhil Alexander-Walker. So mm-hmm. I hope to see Duke versus Virginia Tech. I think that could be a really, really good game and a tough obstacle for Duke along the way. But ultimately, I've got Duke coming out of the top of that and going to the Final Four.
With Zion Williamson back and looking as healthy as ever, it's hard not to pick Duke. So I'm right there with you. But I think we got a chance to see an ACC Sweet 16 matchup and a Big Ten matchup at the bottom half of the bracket. If Maryland can kind of get their act together, Bruno Fernando in the middle there, and then they got shooters on the outside. They're a very talented team. They're young, though, so they're going to have to overcome that. But a potential matchup with Maryland, or with Michigan State, excuse me, could be a good one as well. So that's kind of how I have it. Sweet 16, I got the ACC matchup and the Big Ten matchup, but I do have some upsets occurring in this region.
Liberty.
I like Liberty. And this one's a little bit out there. It's tough to pick 14 seeds, but I love Ivy League basketball. I love how those teams play, and Yale can really shoot the ball. So I think they can give LSU some problems, who have actually kind of had some problems over the last couple weeks.
I love Ivy League basketball, too. It's one of my favorite conference tournaments to watch, and this is not our Ivy League basketball from 20 years ago, because now you got Yale, who still plays that classic disciplined, won't beat themselves, but they got some athletes out there, too. And then what do you do with LSU? They're so talented, and the turmoil they're facing, losing their coach and all this, you know, you never know how to – how to put your finger on the pulse of what's going on in the inner workings of their locker room. So I'm not picking Yale, but I certainly certainly can see where you're coming from. But yeah, I like Liberty. If I was going to pick an upset, you know, I think Liberty controls tempo a little bit, and Mississippi State can be a little turnover prone at times. But then Maryland, we talked off the air. Maryland's the team that could bow out to Belmont. But I could also see Maryland getting through LSU or Yale if Yale pulls that upset. And sure. Then I could even see Maryland and Michigan State with the familiarity between those two teams. So,
anything can happen there.
Ultimately, I've got Duke versus either Michigan State or Maryland in the Elite Eight, with Liberty as my number one upset candidate.
That's where I'm at. And one other note I want to have out of the East, I want to see Duke and UCF play in the second round just for Zion Williamson to have the opportunity to dunk on 7'6" Taco Paul.
He probably would get it, yeah. I would pick UCF over BCU. UCF can really, really defend. Maybe some people around here watched them against Cincinnati when they had the chance. So I will pick UCF to beat BCU. I'm not picking either one of those teams to beat Duke. One last note, Travis, before we go, west or south, whichever way you want to take us.
Sure.
The committee will swear that they don't do this, but there's always two or three things that come up like this every year. How about the 7-10 matchup, Louisville versus Minnesota, who just happens to be coached by Richard Pitino. Yeah. Hopefully Rick Pitino. Of course, he's been
coaching overseas.
Last year, he was visible at a lot of Minnesota games. This year, he was coaching overseas. Hopefully, Rick Pitino can get a real good seat. But hey,
yeah,
the committee doesn't account for.
And you know what? I didn't even put two and two together until you said something that makes that matchup all the more intriguing.
But the committee will tell you they would never do anything like that.
Yeah. And you mentioned Michigan State on the two line. Would you have rather seen them on the one? Maybe taking Virginia spot.
No. Perhaps? Well, first of all, if they were on the one, I would have swapped them with Gonzaga. Okay. Here's the deal. I fully expected them to be the top ranked two. And call Gonzaga the lowest ranked one. I just think Michigan State is number five in the 1 through 68.
So they shouldn't be in the same region with the number one overall seed. Yeah.
And it almost makes you wonder that do Sunday's games even matter? Michigan State just beat Michigan right before the election. And I know they have to have most of it put together, but they're in the same conference.
And we're going to touch on that when we get to UC seeding as well. But let's stay on the left side of the bracket and go down to the west region. We just mentioned Gonzaga is the number one in that region. You got Michigan at the two, Texas Tech at the three, and Florida State at the four. And people are probably looking at that three seed in that bracket, especially in this neck of the woods, because Northern Kentucky is going to play Texas Tech in the first round.
Yeah, and just keeping locally with NKU, we love them. They're likable. They're quality. We're thrilled they're in there. It was going to be hard to feel good about your first round opponent unless you went from 14 to 13, because any of these three seeds, Texas Tech is tremendous. But the other ones aren't chump change, Houston, Purdue, and LSU.
Right.
So it was inevitably going to be a very, very difficult draw for NKU. They've got Texas Tech, who's really, really loaded with talent, including who's their guy,
Jarrett
Culver's one of the best players in the country. But so is Mr. McDonald for NKU. So anything can happen. But this, we talked off air, this is my bracket that I'm going to kind of turn upside down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you've got the same thing going in the South. But I'll let you go first on the West, because I think you're more likely to run some chalk out there before I flip it upside
down. I am running chalk in this bracket. I think Gonzaga, despite playing in the conference they play in, is very, very talented and more than capable of making the Final Four. And I do have them winning this region. I like Syracuse a lot. They're going to get Tyus Battle back, who's one of their key players. The Marquette-Murray State game got me a little bit of a toss-up because you got the big-time matchup. It was Marcus Howard and Ja Morant going head-to-head. Obviously, two very, very talented guards. Florida State, Buffalo, Texas Tech, Nevada, Michigan, those are kind of my first round picks there. I love the Nevada team. They started off really hot, Cody and Caleb Martin. I love those two twins, and they can really score the ball. They kind of hit a tough patch towards the end of the year, but I think they're so talented, they got a chance to win a couple of games. Yeah, so that's kind of where I'm at there. I do have Nevada winning a couple games. I'm taking a little bit of a risk there because we saw them get up big last year in the tournament and ended up losing a chance to I think it was actually Loyola who came back and beat them.
Yeah, they had a lead
kind of
late in the tournament.
Spoiled Nevada's chance to maybe get to the Final
Which
Four.
Wasn't that after Nevada kind of did the same thing
to UC, absolutely. So that's where I am going chalk in the West, though.
Yeah, and then you've got Gonzaga coming out of there, it looks like.
I do.
You're running Nevada out there a little bit, but you've got Gonzaga.
Texas Tech, though, in the Elite Eight.
So, and didn't Gonzaga was short Jordan Caroline recently. I think they get him back. There seems to always be a team or two that gets written off for how they struggle down the stretch, and then they put it back together and make a run. Nevada and Marquette, for that matter, because Marquette had an excellent season, struggled down the stretch. And there always seems to be that team that gets written off, or they've lost four out of six, or that and the other. And then, so I think you got Marquette and Nevada as candidates there.
Absolutely. I got them both in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, you do. And I have Marquette beat Murray State. The John Morant is excellent. I think Marquette's a quality team. I've got Marquette winning that. I know Murray State's going to be an upset pick. I've got Florida over Nevada. I don't feel real, real good about it, but I've got Florida over Nevada, and it wouldn't shock me if Florida beat Michigan as well.
I would not complain about that, being an Ohio State fan.
Right. I like Buffalo. I was watching CBS Sports Network last night, and they were talking a lot about him. I didn't realize just how experienced they were, how balanced they were, and they don't look like a mid-major.
No, not at all.
And part of it is they've got five seniors.
They play at great pace, too.
Yeah, so I've got Buffalo. Here's where I'm flipping this upside down. I've got Buffalo over Texas Tech or NKU. Give me NKU and the upset over Texas Tech. Call me a homer. Yeah. They're our local team.
I would love to pick them.
But I've got Buffalo, whoever it's there. But my final four team out of the West, you mentioned Syracuse. I definitely have Syracuse over Baylor. I think Syracuse has the ability to give Gonzaga fits like they do. A lot of people in March, they get Tyus Battle, like you said.
O'Shea Brissett is a beast,
yeah. But I've got Florida State. I've got Florida State as my final four pick out of here. Whether I'm picking Syracuse to upset Gonzaga or not, I don't know if I went that far. But if Gonzaga gets by Syracuse, I don't have them getting by Florida State. Florida State is balanced. I think they got eight guys that score between 6 and 13. They're balanced. They're deep. They don't ride one guy too hard.
Play good defense.
They've got length. And I just think if Gonzaga gets to Florida State, I think scoring the ball inside against them compared to whoever they play in the West Coast Conference is going to be difficult.
Yeah, they do have, you know, two All-American type players, Gonzaga does, but it'd be a little bit tougher scoring inside against Florida State. I get what you're saying there.
So give me Florida State coming out of the West.
That's kind of your I don't want to call it a reach so much because they're a four seed. But
that's
kind of your just out there pick a little bit.
It's kind of my out there pick, and I'm going to go Florida State versus either Buffalo or Florida in Elite Eight. And here's the thing, Travis. The ESPN guys last night had heavy chalk in Elite Eight, and I read there's only been three times has there ever been an Elite Eight where – you had top four seeds, eight top four seeds. So inevitably, one of them is going to get flipped upside down. And I really, really like Florida State. So I got Florida State out of the West, and you got Gonzaga.
I do, and that's over Texas Tech. But I certainly wouldn't be mad if NKU pulled the upset. Right. I'm rooting for NKU, but my brain is telling me that Jared Culver and Texas Tech is going to be too much.
The NKU pick was a heart pick for me, and then it also allowed Buffalo to go another round maybe.
All right. So
not that NKU couldn't beat Buffalo. But.
Sure. Let's move over to the right side of the bracket. The South region is the one that I kind of have flipped on its head because I just can't really get a good indication on one team that I think it just stands out among all of them. Virginia, they're back on the one line. Of course, they lost to a 16 seed last year. I don't see that happening again, but you can't trust them. They've not shown an ability to win big games and go deep in the tournament. The same could be said for, I'm going to say Tennessee, because they're coached by Rick Barnes, and he used to have good teams at Texas, and they couldn't make deep runs either, so can't trust them per se. UC's been up and down, so I'm going with the known commodity in this region. I'm going with Jay Wright, Villanova, the defending champions. They're flying under the radar, like you kind of mentioned earlier with Marquette. They're coming in as a 6 seed, 25-9 overall. There's certainly talent there.
Well,
it's just
they
lost four guys to the NBA last year.
Yeah, and they're definitely trending in the right direction. They lost to Penn and Furman in November. And by the time you get to the middle of March, November seems like an eternity ago. Mm-hmm. So, like every Villanova coach team, they got better as the year went. So, I've got Purdue beating them in the second round, but I definitely see where you're coming from. I am going chalk here. Now, I think there could be some upsets along the way. Oregon over Wisconsin is a popular pick, and rightfully so. Wisconsin, despite having one of the best players in the country, can struggle to score as a team sometime. Ethan Happ is terrific. UC Irvine's getting a lot of run.
I almost picked them.
And I saw their championship game a couple nights ago. Boy, they're big and they're physical, and they really defend well inside. But Kansas State's quality, too. So I can see some upsets along the way. But I am back to chalk in the Elite Eight. I've got Virginia versus Tennessee. I hear what you're saying about Virginia. Their reputation precedes them, but I do think this Virginia team's better. I've got Tennessee beating them in the Elite Eight, and if this adds to the Virginia can't win the big one, can't get to the Final Four, okay. But I just think on that given Saturday or Sunday, whenever it is, Tennessee will just be a little bit better than them. I think this Virginia team is better offensively than the past couple. You know, still really good defensively. They've got multiple guys, one of them from right here in Indiana, Kyle Guy with Jerome, Ty Jerome, that can really, really fill it up. But so does Tennessee. Tennessee's got two, you know, Schofield is a great player.
And Grant Williams.
Yeah,
they play four guards, basically. Right. And guards win in March, so I would.
And Grant Williams is a back-to-back SEC player of the year. So I've got Tennessee over Virginia. So I've got chalk to the Elite Eight with the small upset, Tennessee over Virginia. And Virginia will probably get beat up again for not being able to break through, but I just think that'd be a toss-up game, and I'll take the balls.
We got a couple regional teams in this bracket. You mentioned Purdue as the 3 seed, and then Cincinnati sitting on the 7 line playing Iowa. Now, Cincinnati just went and won their conference tournament. They beat Houston along the way, and we go back to that question, do the tournaments actually matter, because shouldn't they be a little bit higher seed?
I think Cincinnati, some teams that I think got shorted a seed that stick out to me, Cincinnati, Seton Hall, I thought could have been a little bit higher. But yeah, especially like did the game even matter, because Cincinnati just beat Houston. Houston's 31-2. That's a quality win. The Michigan and Michigan State thing, to put Michigan State with Duke after Michigan State beat Michigan twice in 8 days. If you remember, the last weekend of the regular season, they beat them. Mm-hmm. Then they beat them yesterday. That would have been easy. They're in the same conference. Because when you do start moving teams, you got to account for conferences and all that. So I could see where moving Cincinnati would have been tougher. But call me the homer, because we're here in a tri-state. But Cincinnati sticks out as, I thought they could have been a 5. I mean, not to mention a 6.
I definitely think they have a strong chance to beat Iowa. I'm picking the Bearcats to win a game.
Obviously.
Playing in Columbus could matter, get them to the Sweet 16, but they've had some inconsistencies this year, and when they've played really good teams, they hadn't performed until this last weekend, really. So
obviously, I've got them getting beat by Tennessee. I've got them beating Iowa. I just picked Tennessee to go to the Final Four. But if you're Tennessee, I mean, aren't you – well, the coaches aren't. The coaches are coaching practice today, but aren't you saying, wait a minute, I thought this pod system kept the top – ones and two seats closer to home, and we potentially get to play Cincinnati in Columbus.
Yeah.
Not that Tennessee's traveling across the country, but wow, that stuck out as well.
Yep. So my regional final there, which we played in Louisville, I got Kansas State and Villanova kind of going out on a limb and switching it up there, because I just wasn't really sold on the top seeds.
I've got Purdue getting by Villanova in what could be a good game. I'll be cheering for Purdue out of that regional, just the only Indiana team in the tournament, and I'm a big, big fan of Matt Painter. Never grew up a Purdue fan and don't have any allegiances there, but I just have a lot of respect for their program. So I'm cheering for Purdue, but I'm picking Tennessee.
All right, we got about 6 minutes left in the program before we throw it back to the auction, and we got one more region here, the Midwest. North Carolina, the 1, Kentucky, the 2, Houston, the 3, and Kansas, the 4. So you got some blue bloods top seeds in that one.
Wow, big time blue bloods. Kansas is on upset alert. I think Northeastern's really good. They're skilled. They can shoot it well. They come from a good league. They beat Hofstra, who's really good. I've got North Carolina getting out of here in a really, really good game against Kentucky. I've got Seton Hall over Wofford. That's hard to call that a major upset, but my upset alerts there are Kansas is on upset alert against Northeastern. I like Georgia State. Don't think I can quite pick them. I think Houston's just a little too physical. I got Seton Hall over Wofford, but ultimately I've got Carolina beating Kentucky in a really, really good Elite Eight game.
Carolina and Kentucky in the Elite Eight, that would be a phenomenal game. I've jostled with this pick all day. I think North Carolina's better, but I'm going to go with Kentucky to the Final Four.
I can tell the listeners that you're not being dramatic there, because you were scratching it out at 6:27, so you are not doing radio drama there.
Yeah, I like the Northeastern pick over Kansas. Kansas has lost two of their best players this year, one to injury and one left the team.
A lot of people are picking New Mexico State over Auburn. I can't do it.
I can't do it because Auburn just won the SEC championship, so they're coming in hot. My team is in this bracket. I'm an Ohio State fan. I thought they got a pretty favorable draw for being an 11 seed. Iowa State, certainly not a world beater in Houston, considering the conference they play in. The stars have to align for Ohio State to win two games, but I certainly think they're more well-positioned to do so in this bracket. I'm sounding like a homer here, but they got Caleb Wesson back, and if he can stay out of foul trouble, they got a chance to win a couple games, and then I think if they do, they would just get blown out by Kentucky.
Agree with that 100%. So I've got Duke versus Florida State. I just went 3 ACC teams without taking Virginia. I've got Duke versus Florida State, Tennessee versus North Carolina. I'm going with what everybody wants, myself included. I've got Duke and Carolina in a championship. And this time, Kobe White makes a big shot at the end, and Carolina beats Duke in a classic, the first time ever that they play in the championship.
And it'd be the fourth time they played this season. I got Duke Gonzaga on the left side of the bracket, and then I got UK playing the defending champs, Villanova, and that's where Villanova's run's going to stop. UK goes to the national championship to take on the Dukies, and I think the writing's on the wall for a lot of people with Zion Williamson back in the fold, 100% healthy, and the way he played in the ACC tournament, there ain't nobody stopping that man right now.
Ridiculous in the ACC tournament. A lot of people know he didn't miss a shot against Syracuse, but what did he end up, 34 for 44 or something like that?
Unbelievable run.
It really, really was. But that's the thing, you know, and give the committee credit. They didn't penalize North Carolina. North Carolina, they beat him twice without him. Okay, well, they had a shot in the air at the buzzer that would have beat him with him. And I don't know, maybe I'm pulling for it because it would be tremendous to see those two play in a title game.
It would certainly be cool to see him play in the tournament for the first time. I don't think people would be upset if Duke and Kentucky played in the final as well. That's obviously a great rivalry in its own sense with some of their tournament history over the years. I know Kentucky fans still waiting to get revenge on that Leitner shot. So I think it's going to be a great tournament. I don't know that. I mean, a lot of people are picking Duke, the so-called experts. We just, you know, got them in the championship game here tonight as well. But I certainly think it's a little bit more open than maybe it has been in prior years.
Well, it definitely, if Duke doesn't. We can call Duke the odds-on favorite, but if Duke doesn't win it, then there's seven or eight teams that it would really, really be wide open.
All right. So
hey, we don't have a guest per se tonight, Travis, but we kind of brought in our own version of celebrity guest picker. I'm on spring break, so it was kind of nice to not bust out of the gym and have 10 minutes to get here. Lucas and I ate dinner here at Wings and Rings, delicious as always, before we came on. So Lucas Blackwell's here to chime in on his Final Four. Lucas, tell the listeners who you got in your Final Four. You've been studying pretty hard.
Dukes and North Carolina, Tennessee, and Purdue.
So he goes Duke, North Carolina, Tennessee, Purdue. I don't think he worries too much about regionals.
I think he
just wanted to tell the listeners the four teams.
Those are the four he thinks has the best shot to win it.
Right. Yeah,
Duke, North Carolina, Tennessee, and Purdue. Tennessee and Purdue might get to play each other there pretty early.
So he kind of went a different route there. But he was here eating dinner. Like I said, I'm on spring break, so it was nice to get here early and have a great meal. The food was delicious as always here at Wings and Rings.
Absolutely. We encourage you to go come down and join us live next week, 6:30 to 7 o'clock. It'll be Crunch Time with JB and Double T live from the restaurant, and we'll certainly be taking a look at our brackets and our picks after we get a bunch of games this week. So certainly rooting for the regional teams.
Well,
that's for
NKU,
sure.
And, you know, it's tough as an Indiana guy growing up here. You know, only one team in the dance from Indiana. That's rare that Notre Dame, Indiana, Butler all miss in the same year, and then we don't slide a mid-major through there like a Ball State or somebody.
Yeah, I guess real quick, if you do want to check out those Indiana teams, Indiana's going to play in the NIT tomorrow night against St. Francis. You got Butler on the other side of the bracket. Who knows, maybe they meet in the final. Dayton Xavier are going to play in the NIT as well. So at least some local intrigue for the NIT and a chance to go play at Madison Square Garden. So we got to wrap it up here from Buffalo Wings and Rings on Flossie Drive in Greendale. We certainly appreciate you listening, and we'll be back next week, like I said, 6:30 to 7 o'clock. Right now, back to the studio as we resume the springtime on-air auction driven by Car Country in Aurora and Harrison. You'll hear it on Eagle Country 99.3, your hometown radio station.
Thank you for listening to Crunch Time with JB and Double T. Join us live each Monday from 6:30 until 7 o'clock at Buffalo Wings and Rings in Greendale, or listen live on Eagle Country 99.3 and EagleCountryOnline.com.